Hola, hola. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne, your host from Yes Mermaid. And today I have my smiling, what do you call this, necklace, because I'm super foggy, excited, and I'm overwhelmed about the person that's on the other screen, which is Jordan Page. Hi, Jordan. Thank you for being here today with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you.
And by the way, I know everybody's like, who the fuck's Jordan? Well, let me tell you, Jordan is the amazing journalist who wrote the latest article in Cosmopolitan UK, which is literally one of the most viewed articles. It was like right there on the first front page when you go in. The article is about yachting and sexual harassment. So thank you so much for writing that article. And I invited Jordan today because, you know, he's coming from mainstream media. And we kind of wonder, like, a lot of people ask me, like, why is mainstream media, like, even involved in this? You know, like, what do they want to gain behind or whatever? And I just want to open this platform to give you the voice, you know, to give you this space to speak up and share your story behind all this. So let's begin with you telling us a little bit about who you are and what, you know, what got you interested in sexual harassment and assault on board yachts, right? Super yachts.
Yeah. So I have been a journalist for just over a year. I do it freelance, but I have a background in charity work and fashion as well. So quite like a broad range of stuff, but really enjoy writing about pop culture, LGBTQ issues, and more serious things. I talk about issues affecting minority communities and also sexual assault as well. And I got into this article and writing about it because obviously we've had loads of COVID lockdowns in the last year, 2 years. And in the last one, which was at the start of this year, everything in the UK obviously was shut down. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't see any of your friends. You couldn't go anywhere. And like a lot of people, I was watching Netflix and watching Amazon Prime, binging TV because there was literally nothing else to do. And me and my boyfriend started watching Below Deck. There was about like, I can't remember how many series there were, maybe like 5 on Netflix. And then we got Amazon Prime, especially to watch the rest of it because like we were just watching it all day because there's nothing else to do. So I was watching it and obviously it's reality TV. It's trash TV. A lot of people call it that. But it's just something that's easy to watch. But there was something that I noticed going through all of the different series. And it was a pattern of mainly the female stewardesses having to experience harassment from male guests when they'd been drinking, sometimes when they hadn't been drinking, everything from verbal harassment to physical harassment. And I came away from watching it and I was like, that's obviously not right, but if that's what's happening where there's a film crew and there's producers and they can do a takeover again if it's not right, then what's actually happening when none of that's there for the millions and thousands of people that are on boats, working on boats, on super yachts, on yachts, on anything? So it kind of like put this like question in my head, and then I sat on it for a while because, like, you know, as a journalist, things come into your head and you think, am I the person that should be writing this? Like, is this someone else's story to tell? But I thought if I could give a platform to women that have experienced it themselves, who might not necessarily normally be able to have that platform and reach as many people and say their truth, then I think that would do them justice. So that's kind of what made me want to write the article, to be honest with you. It was just an observation from a TV show, which I know is very controversial in the yachting industry, like Below Deck. Everyone has an opinion on it.
Well, I mean, the truth is, to be honest, like, I've been doing yachting for the past 15 years, and yes, Below Deck is a TV show, and like you say, you know, they do retakes and whatever, but it is the truth. Like, all the shit that you see there happens in real life, and it is even worse. Like what you said, like, this is a TV show. Like, if you saw sexual harassment on fucking TV,
yeah,
right? Like, normalizing it, saying like, this shit is okay, because like, did anybody do anything during the show when this was being shown, you know, film, whether this was hopefully more real than not, because it will be really fucked up if they want to like reenact something like that. Yeah. Like, I'm hoping that this is just like what's actually coming through and they're just filming it, because it will make more sense to me. But this actually happens, and it happens a lot more aggressively, as you already know now, because of all the people that you have talked to. And in some boats is the fucking daily bread of it, you know, and not just from guests, but also from captains and crew members and managers and shipyards and contractors and the whole fucking shebang, right? So, or hebang at this stage, but I don't know, bad joke. But anyway, the thing is that I am very, you know, it's I never really watch enough of Below Deck to notice this. I did binge on it a little bit, actually, while I'm fucking a boat, like while I'm working, like ironing and watching shit. I'm like, oh shit, that happened to me. And like laughing because like, oh yeah, that's actually fucking real. Because a lot of people don't want to, you know, they want to pretend that what they see on TV is not real, but come on guys, like it is fucking real. Like all of it, you know, like maybe you don't get all of it in one boat, but you definitely get all of it in the industry. And sometimes you get that and more in one boat. So I totally forgot what I was going to say, but I do want to come back to you share with us your vision and your mission about writing this article, because you realize, okay, like this is happening. What could be happening behind the scenes? And, you know, you found the courage within yourself to say, I'm going to be that fucking platform for other people to come and, you know, share the voice. And thank you for that. And now I'm asking you, what were you hoping the outcome of this platform that you created would be?
So I think when I was pitching the article, I didn't really expect like the volume of responses that I would get and the amount of times that people said, this happens all the time. You know, like one of the people that I spoke to, her name's Jessica, in the article, she said that she has never come across another woman in the industry who hasn't faced something similar, whether it's from a guest or a captain or a co-worker. So when she said that, she was the first person I interviewed, and I was thinking, okay, wow, this is like really big, you know, like this isn't just like, oh, it happens now and again kind of thing. So I think the mission was just kind of like an expose, because I think for a lot of people like me who aren't experts, who don't work in the industry, no one has any idea that this kind of stuff goes on. Obviously the people that have experienced it themselves have, and the perpetrators obviously know as well. But I think for other people outside of the industry, you know, you kind of just like take it as you see it on the show, and you just think, looks really fun. Like, you know, sometimes everyone gets a bit crazy, you know, the work's really hard, the tips are really good, whatnot, all of that stuff. But obviously that show is the tip of the iceberg, and that's all that you're seeing. And there's another whole side to that, and that's like what's actually going on in the industry. So my mission was to kind of expose that, and that's why like in the piece there isn't necessarily like a lot of like analysis of what they're saying. It's more like their voices and just actually giving a platform to their experiences, because that's what's important. And I just wanted to raise awareness of it, really. But like I said, like I started like pitching the article, and then once I actually spoke to the women, that's when I realized that, whoa, this is like a really big thing, and this has affected a lot of people, which is, yeah, something I didn't realize to start off with.
And yeah, exactly. And you know, a lot of people in the industry, they're like, well, you know, this doesn't just happen in the yachting industry. Absolutely fucking correct.
Yeah.
It happens everywhere. Exactly. But the difference is when you're inland, you can go to a place and say, hey, this happened to me. When you're aboard, a lot of the times you don't have that choice, because maybe you're literally at sea. And also if you do have the choice, it's so gray into how you can get help, who can help you, who wants to take responsibility of it, you know, whether it's your, you know, your flag state or the jurisdiction of the place where you were, or you know, you fucking name it. It's like it's ridiculous, really. all the loopholes that you have to go through to potentially, hopefully, maybe find justice. And, you know, and I think that you're very well aware from what people have shared with you that a lot of the times people don't talk about this because of past experiences that they have heard other people where they actually went through the loopholes and went back to zero, where it's like, okay, I went through all this and nothing got done.
Yeah.
Right. So, or because they're afraid of, you know, the 1% and, you know, the amount of money they have and whatever, you know, or maybe they're afraid of losing their job, which, by the way, you want to lose your fucking job if you're in a place like that, like, go, you know, so, and I also realized on one of my recent episodes, another woman said, you know, I was saying to people like, guys, you need to ask about these policies before you get on a boat, because this is you putting the boundary like, hey, I'm not okay with this. And if this is happening or if could potentially happen, who's going to help me? Right. Like putting it out there because nobody talks about this. Right. Nobody wants to be the outcast and the person saying like, hey, what happens if I get fucking raped? You know? And because maybe I don't get the job. And to be honest, you know, this other woman said, which I mean, maybe I took it personal. I don't know. Probably I did. But she said, like, be careful how you ask because you don't want to be that person. And I fucking flipped the shit inside of me because this is why we are in the shit that we are. Because we keep telling women or people, you know, don't talk. Be, you know, be this way. Don't do that. Don't be too loud. Don't say everything you think. It's like, this is the this is why we're in the fucking shit that we are, because we're not speaking up, because we're not setting our boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, that was like super disempowerment right there. Thinking somebody telling you, you know, be careful about asking what the policies are because you may not get the job. Are you fucking kidding me? You don't want that job anyway. If somebody cannot tell you, oh yeah, by the way, here's the book of our policy. If anything happens to you, this is the procedure, blah, blah, blah. To be honest, you don't want to work with that people.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, you know? So yeah, for me, it's like, you know, you setting these platforms, it's another way, another resource, another empowerment outlet for people to say, you know what? It's okay to talk. It's okay to speak up. It's okay to ask questions. Like, because he's fucking okay, you know, and it's actually you're freaking right to know what procedures and how you can be helped if this happens to you. Because obviously, you don't go on a boat thinking, I'm gonna get fucking raped, hopefully, right?
Yeah,
but it could happen.
It's something that they like you need to be aware of. And I think what I discovered as well when I was speaking to the women that I spoke to was, when this happened, it was usually at the very start of their careers in yachting. It was very early on. And I think there's like obviously an aspect of like a naivety because they haven't worked in the industry before. They don't know what it's like. They've maybe seen it on TV or they've heard through people that, oh, you know, it's great. You can do all of this amazing stuff, which you can do. Like you get to travel the world. You can make a lot of money if you want to. But I think, yeah, it's that naivety and the assumption that, oh, like it's putting their trust into people that they like don't necessarily, they can't trust. And that's not 100% their fault because obviously it's the people that are looking after them on the boats and the captains and the senior staff, they should be the ones that are looking after them. But at the same time, like you have to have your guard up and you have to ask those questions. And I think articles like my one and other articles as well that kind of raise more awareness of this, not just in the yachting industry, but in any industry, you know, like you could work in any industry and you would want to know those kind of policies and how your employer is going to protect you. So it shouldn't be any different for yachting, but it's about giving these women and men that confidence to be able to ask about these policies.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% with you. And, you know, you said that the people that you came through across, they were young when this happened to them. And there's a truth in that. But I think there's also a truth in that the reality is that this continues to happen to senior crew members.
Yeah.
Because, and a lot of people think, oh, this only happens to the young girls that are naive, bull fucking shit. This happens to people that have been in the industry for 10, 7 years. It happened to me. And I wasn't that super young, naive girl when it happened. It happened not that long ago. And it wasn't until I started to talk about the topic in this show that I realized, oh shit, that shit happened to me. It wasn't until I spoke about it, until I heard other people talking, that I realized actually what happened to me was harassment.
Yeah.
So this is the power of talking about it. It gives you awareness. It brings you to your, oh yes, this happened to me. Like you said, a lot of people, you know, a lot of women, that woman specifically said, oh, I don't know anybody that hasn't gone through it. And for me, when I ask people that I know in the industry, a lot of them, they first said, oh no, that never happened to you. I was like, really? Like, just ponder on the question. Just ponder on the smallest little things, like somebody brushing their hand against you, even though you don't want to. Maybe you're like in the crew mess sitting down and somebody's like moving their knee towards your knee.
Touching your waist as they walk past. Feel that energy,
where it's like sexual energy there. And you're kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's not really sexual harassment because there's no sexual in it. Yeah, it is, because he's unfucking welcome. So first of all, it's harassment. And second of all, there's a sexual energy there. Then yes, of course it's sexual harassment, because like knee to knee, hand to hand, what the fuck is that? You know?
Yeah.
So just like little things like that, because a lot of people tend to think, you know, big, big scenarios, you know, for it to become harassment. Sexual harassment, where it's like, really, it's not, you know, like if they're looking at you up and down, if they're putting their hand way too low where you feel uncomfortable, that's harassment right there. And a lot of people tend to say, well, that didn't happen to me because this, which happened to me, is not really harassment. And the question is like, was it welcome? Was it conscious?
Did you consent? And that's the thing as well. It's a spectrum. Like, I think when people hear sexual harassment, they think of, you know, really gripping on someone, touching someone, raping someone, you know what I mean? Assault. Whereas it can be completely verbal. It can be psychological. It can be so many different things. And I think the way, like one of the ways that I think it can be not well prevented is that people can identify those different forms of harassment, because like we just said, you know, people think of it and they think of these really severe things, and that's one end of the spectrum, like that still happens, but then you have the other end and it can slowly build. So it's being able for other staff and the staff that are going on the boats and experiencing themselves to be able to identify it. And like you said, like you realized about your experience when you were talking about it. I think that's a way that so many other people can recognize their experiences, is if we have these conversations more.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to normalize these topics. You know, one of the things that's coming through right now is that, you know, I share with you in the article that it's so important for people that are in the industry, not just crew members, but, you know, the teachers, the trainers, the you know, like the builders, the managers, everybody that's in the maritime industry, they have to also take their part of the responsibility. And it's like, okay, what can I do to prevent or make this a safer environment? And one of the big things is like, when you go into a maritime industry, you have to get training. And when I share about this article, one person shared with me that during her training, the actual person, the trainer said, well, you know, this could happen to you, sexual assault, sexual harassment, but the honest truth is that it's not going to go anywhere. Even if you talk, you know, even if you come forward and say something and you're like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, instead, and this is like this is what we have fucking normalized in the industry, saying that you're fucked. You're not going to, nothing good's going to happen to you. You're going to lose your job. You're going to be, you know, somebody nobody wants to work with, which by the way is bullshit. You're a fucking nobody, a number nobody knows you, not to like bring you down. But the reality is that you don't really have a reputation in the industry. Exactly. Like, let's just rip the fucking bandaid. You're a number, literally. It's on your t-shirt. You're number 5. That's it. You know, and like for people to think, oh, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to go forward and say like this happened to me or whatever because of their reputation. It's like, come on, like, why reputation? Like, their reputation is the one that that captain or guest or owner has built.
Exactly.
They have a reputation. She, he, whoever, they have a reputation to be careful with. You, what? Seriously.
Like, yeah, no. But you said it so well in the article as well, like when you said that it's not the reputations of the green crew who are just starting and they can replace at the drop of a hat. It's the people that know people, that have connections, that really have authority in the industry. It's their reputations that are at risk and it's their livelihoods that are at risk. First off, I can't believe that, you know, someone said that to someone in a training situation because
I was like shocked.
It's disgusting, but like the way that I see it and the way that I think a lot of other people would see that as well is that person, it's kind of like when, you know, when you were in school and you saw a kid getting bullied by someone else, and obviously the bully's in the wrong, but the bystanders that aren't doing anything or saying anything and are watching it happen and then going about their lives, they're in the wrong too because they're enabling it and they're telling that bully that what they're doing is fine because there's never going to be any repercussions. So by standing and letting that happen, that person who's training a new staff member to work on a yacht thousands of miles away from home, you know, like away from their like security of like their families and their friends, is just disgusting. Like, I can't believe, but that shows the problem. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God. And I'm glad that you brought the bystanders because, you know, when previously to this happened to me, same boat, I had a second stew who came to me and said, you know, like, I'm being harassed by this old guy who's drunk and blah, blah, you know, with the hand too low, making comments about her breasts, whatever, you know? And she's a quite beautiful girl, bubbly. But, you know, like, just because you're bubbly and beautiful and welcoming guest doesn't mean you're fucking available. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So she came to me, which was the right thing to do because I'm her senior. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to take over. Like, you go back. I'm going to take over the bar. And I went up to the captain. I said, listen, this is happening. You either go and talk about this now and sort this shit out, or I'm going to talk about it. And it ain't going to be pretty. So thankfully, our captain was super, you know, he had our bags. He went out. They actually kicked the guy out and was not welcome on the boat anymore. And it was very clear to the owner and the guest, you know, crew are not fucking available.
Yeah.
So with that being said, on the same boat, after this happened, obviously on another trip, this other thing happened to me and I'm the senior crew member. And I was so shocked that I came back to the galley and I had all these bystanders, right? My crew was there, like most of them were there. And I said, oh, this person just showed his penis to me. And the bystanders started laughing. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm making a big deal out of it. You know, maybe this is not a big deal. Maybe he's drunk, you know, whatever it happened, which I knew it wasn't just like he's drunk, it's happening. Like the guy fucking waited for me for like 20 fucking minutes, you know? So I was kind of like in shock, but because the people that were meant to support me basically were so uncomfortable with the situation and started laughing, they creating this atmosphere where they put it on me saying like, oh, you know, like, yeah, just laugh it off, like it's fine, like he didn't touch you, nothing happened.
Yeah. You know?
And in that moment I was like, I didn't realize, I thought this is nothing. And then when I started talking about it, I was like, oh shit, you know, like what happened to that girl, which the low hand, you know, that the lower hand is the same thing that happened to me. It's sexual harassment.
Yeah. And
because I didn't have a bystander who was actually empowering me to say like, this is not okay, I have your back. My story was very different from the crew member who had me having her back and saying, this is not okay, get back in the laundry, do whatever, don't be around these people, I'm gonna sort this shit out for you, you know? And I think this is the power of the people that are the bystanders of, you have a choice, you have a voice, you can also make a difference for the person that just got, you know, harassed or assaulted, you know? And exactly, you don't have to just like be there and say like, oh, well, it's not my problem, it didn't happen to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but like you-
so powerful because we're like in such tight quarters. This is all we have sometimes, these people, that's it.
Exactly, you need to be there for each other. And I think as well, like you were obviously there for that junior crew member And not that because you've done that, you expect from other people, but it should be expected anyway, like whether or not you did something about her situation or not. I think like the issue with that is with that reaction of like laughing, like, you know, maybe some people might laugh in shock at something, but by doing that, you're the person that's been victim to that is then looking at themselves and thinking, like you said, I'm the problem. I was being dramatic, you know, like, oh, they must do this all the time. I don't want to stand out. Maybe it was my, like, you start blaming yourself, which is not the right thing to do because, like, that kind of tells the perpetrator that what they're doing is fine. And, you know, it tells other people as well. If someone else was in that room and watching that happen and say that something similar had just happened to them, then they're going to think, oh, well, I'm not going to say about what's happened to me because, you know, people are going to laugh and people are going to say it was my fault. So it's all of those little things, like even in that reaction, kind of has like big waves and big impacts further on as well.
Exactly. And that's so important because, you know, as a bystander, you have to realize, okay, this is happening. Like, how can I help? Like, how can I be of service, support to this person? But I think because we haven't normalized this topic, because we don't talk about this topic enough, we are very uncomfortable with the topic. So we don't know how to react. So we're so uncomfortable that we start laughing and we're like, oh, like, no, it's fine. You know, like it's totally cool, you know, because, you know, it wasn't something insane like assault in the sense of rape, you know? Yeah. And I remember on my second boat, the second steward, she got raped, not on board. She got raped outside of the boat. Like she went out and she got raped. And I was called by the captain at 4 a.m. in the morning. We have to go to the police station. This person's there, blah, blah. I was like, what the fuck, you know? But I remember we came back and it was like, nothing had happened. Like, keep on working, do your shit, let's forget about it. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is insane, you know? And I was really young back then, and I was still kind of like, you know, I would talk to her, I'd be like, you know, do you need any help? Like, can we get you, like, a therapist or something? I mean, we're in a foreign land. And it was just so freaking weird. And I don't know, like, I'm just sharing this because it's, This is like what people see as a bystander. It's like, oh, well, if this happens to me, nothing's going to get done. But I want to make sure that people understand, like, just because this is what we see doesn't mean that this should disencourage you from actually taking action, speaking up, looking for help, doing the things that you need to do in order to get justice. You know, like, this should be the force that makes you want to do it differently.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
I'm not exactly. gonna fucking stand up for this shit. I'm not gonna be that. I'm gonna do it differently for us, for me, for future generations, because this is how we change things. You know, exactly. It's like, speaking about it, people think, you know, a lot of people came back to me and said about after the article, well, you know, how can an article change regulations, you know, to make this better? I was like, well, this is the fucking foundation. If we don't talk about it, if we don't create around this, how are people going to know that this is a thing, even though we all know it's a thing? But how are we going to recognize and say, like, you know what? This is a thing, because it's not, you know, like, we kind of say that happens, but whatever. Until we talk enough about it, then we're like, okay, we can't avoid this anymore. Like, this is real and we need to do something about it. And I think, you know, the more conversations we have about this, the better, the more normal it's to talk about it, the more safe people start getting comfortable about talking about these things. And the more you talk about it, the more you think, did that happen to me?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I 100% agree with you. And I think, like, it's just like you said, if it's something that is like constantly ignored and constantly ignored, the next time it happens, or if there is like an instance where someone brushes past you, touches your hand, stuff like that, because you're so used to ignoring it, you don't even recognize it anymore. Like, it just becomes part of the job. Do you know what I mean?
It's yachting.
Yeah,
exactly. It even has a fucking phrase. It's just yachting. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's like, crazy. Oh, and
it's just yachting equals normalizing fucking sexual harassment? Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the women that I spoke to, she said that whenever, like in the past, when she's working on boats, something like that's happened and she's said it to someone, they just said, oh, too bad, like that's just part of the job, you know, like that's how it is, you know, these guests have money, they get drunk, like sometimes they get a bit handsy. And it's like, no, that shouldn't be a reason. And I think what's really important as well, not even just necessarily with the guests themselves, but it kind of just shows how in the industry now, there's that kind of vision that the guests or the senior staff are like way more up here and the staff who are actually experiencing it are down here. And it's like what you said then about the girl that you're working with who was raped off the boat comes back on nothing, you know, you're working now, like that's why you're here. And that kind of shows how women like green crew stewardesses are viewed in the industry. It's like, you know, you're here, we're doing you a favor by you working here, so sorry that you got raped, sorry that you've been harassed and something bad's happened to you, but at the end of the day the guest is more important or the captain's more important. And that's what needs to change as well, like that's the like imbalance that needs to change. Because just because someone's working for you and serving you dinner or making, doing your laundry or something, doesn't mean that they're any less more of a human than you are.
Well, one of the things is that, you know, people have to understand when you are in a, I don't want to say leadership because it's the wrong word, because leadership actually is like real self-development and coming from a very different place. But when you are in a more authoritarian, controlling, hierarchy role, you cannot connect at a human level with people, because in that moment, like you said, you're looking down at somebody. And because you're in that archetype, it's impossible to connect at a human level, because it's like, I'm here, you're there. There's no connection. When you come down from that, when true leadership happens, where you understand, okay, I'm the captain, but I need to come out of that controlling, like, I'm here, you're here. Let me reconnect with you as a at a human level. Okay, how can I be of service to you from a human to another human? That's when things start shifting. But the moment you're continuing to be in this hierarchy level of like, you know, I'm over you, you're down there, there's never going to be that human connection, because that also happens within any relationship, you know, like, paternal or you know, life partners, whatever, friendships. If somebody's up here and the other one's like down, you can't connect at a human level with that person. It's just impossible. And this happens because a lot of the time people are not trained in higher positions to be true leaders. They're not, they haven't done their self-development, they haven't really understand how to connect at that level with other crew members and their team, you know? So it's that kind of like military almost thing, you know, you're a soldier, you don't talk, you don't speak, you shut your mouth, you do as you're told, period. And if not, you're gonna get kicked out or be punished, because literally that's what happens a lot of the times. So it's like that military kind of patriarchy, mindset, you know, that we really need to start moving shift from, really. So my other question is, how do you think that the mainstream media could potentially help, like, you know, a small industry like the yachting industry to get heard, right? So potentially if we, you know, say it enough, we are gonna get heard, and then regulations can actually start happen. Because, you know, as you know, the Me Too movement's regulations change through the Me Too movement, because people said, you know what, I'm not going to talk about it anymore, I'm going to fucking scream about it, I'm going to say it so fucking loud that they cannot ignore me anymore. So the yachting industry hasn't really gotten to that point yet. Sometimes I feel like I'm screaming alone, although I know I'm not alone, and there's a lot of other people, you know, talking about it. And I say alone because, you know, I put my face out there. I don't give a shit. You know, I'm like, this shit needs to shift, you know? And if my face and my reputation, you know, needs to take the hit, I don't give a fuck. Because, like, I tell you, I see myself as a number in the industry. I'm a crew member, you know? And I don't think that I have anything to lose, but only things to gain for me, for others. So that's why I say, like, sometimes I feel alone, because a lot of people are okay talking about it, but not yet really you know, being exposed, saying like, this is my face, this happened to me. And I understand where they are in their journey, because I obviously
Yeah.
did it myself. This is why self-development and, you know, working on whatever trauma happened to you is so important, because it's going to empower you to be able to do this one day. So how do you feel that, yeah, the mainstream media, which, you know, you're writing for, can potentially help us?
I think it's the reach that mainstream media has, and it's obviously all about raising awareness, because it's like a domino effect. Like, I was literally going to use the Me Too example, because that started as something very small where one or two people were talking about their experiences. Someone else heard it and they thought, you know what, I'm going to stand with this person. I haven't got anything to lose. Because when you think about the Me Too movement, for instance, you've got huge famous actresses talking about their experiences. And since then, their careers haven't taken a hit. No director or producer has said, oh, Angelina Jolie spoke up about Me Too, I'm not going to let her star in this film that I'm doing. So that's a testament to speaking up about your story, speaking your truth, isn't going to harm you. It's going to help other people. And the role of mainstream media, I think, is just to get that out to as many people as possible and to show people what's happening. Because like I said earlier, I don't think half of the people that read Cosmopolitan or any other mainstream publication know what's going on. So it's about exposing what's happening. And it's not just a few one-off times that this has happened, you know, like so many people have experienced it. So it's actually just like getting their attention and getting them to understand what's going on, because so many people were like shocked at what was happening. Like, even friends of mine that who like read the article afterwards, like, you would never think that this is what's going on. And by having those realizations and then those conversations, that's how change can actually happen. Because women who are working on your, people who are working on your story, can look at that and think, wow, that's in a magazine that has issues all over the world, that's been around for 20 years. I can speak about my experience now, maybe anonymously, maybe not. Maybe when they get to the stage where they can talk with their identity, that's absolutely fine. But it's just about raising awareness and starting that conversation. Because like, even when I was doing a bit of like research for the article, there wasn't really much being said. Like, obviously there's things like Yacht's Mermaids, and there's resources for people who have experienced this kind of thing. But in mainstream media, it hasn't really been picked up yet. And as Me Too did explosively and really changed a lot of things, I think this definitely has the potential to do it as well, and in other industries. But it's just about having those conversations.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what people don't understand, because in the yachting industry, a lot of people see themselves as, oh, we're yachties. We're not seafarers. Well, guess what, motherfucker? You're a seafarer, all right? So, like, burst your fucking bubble. Like, you're not in it alone. And this has nothing to do just with yachting. This is the maritime industry as a whole. Women that work in tankers, women that, and, you know, I make focusing on women because it's the majority. Obviously, this does happen to men as well. And I really do hope that more male feel comfortable enough to start speaking about their experiences to even normalize that part of the equation. But, you know, women that work in tankers, women that work in cruise ships, women that children that actually go into sailing schools. Like, this is happening everywhere within the maritime industry. And yes, yachting is very sensationalized because it's luxury, you know, is it the toys, is it the 1%? So I think to all of the maritime industry people, piggy bank from this shit, because this has the potential to be exposed in a very huge way. Because like, when you think of a tanker, you know, it's like, well, whatever. But when you think of luxury yachts, like, that has a different feel to it, because it's like, wow, is that really happening there? You know, like, people want to, especially now that Below Deck has been, you know, out there, where before people didn't even know this job existed.
Exactly.
You know, they saw a boat and they were like, oh yeah, a boat, but they didn't even think of like who works in there, you know?
Yeah.
who are the little slaves in there? By the way, yeah, we are slaves, but, you know, consciously because we want to. But it is pretty much like a prison, to be honest. And I think like Johnny Depp wrote an article about this, about his crew, how he compared that to prison, because he was like, well, they're really like in prison. They're just like saying yes to it. You know, that's the only difference.
They're stuck on the boat.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, you know, I think that, yeah, this is, you know, I didn't even know, like, what was I saying? I totally like lost the plot here. But because of your article, I had a lot of people outside of the yachting industry reach out to me. And this is when I realized the you know, I knew, but it was like tangible, the power that words have, you know, and when they're written in an empowering way, like you did, you know, people that came from all sorts of maritime aspects and say, you know what, I'm not in yachting. I have never been part of the yachting industry, but I'm part of the maritime industry in this way. And this happened to me. You know, I was like, oh my God, yes, this is what we want. We don't just want to, you know, we're not just talking to the yachties. We're talking
everyone, to
everybody. And even outside the maritime industry, you know, we're just exposing this industry because it's a small industry that, you know, that's involved with the very wealthy people. And, you know, this shit's happening and nobody really wants to talk about it, and realize that we don't have the resources that people in land have.
Yeah.
Simply don't, you know, because like a lawyer that I spoke to here in Uncensored, he said, you know, when they were trying to put regulations for the crew rights, they said, no, this is going to fuck the party up. We don't want seafarers to have rights. And he was like, what? I'm like, no, like,
it's crazy.
This is crazy, right? So this is why it's so gray and so, you know, like, I mean, he told me about a story where a woman got raped at sea, and then the state flag said, oh no, you know, we're not going to take jurisdiction about that because you were in a different sea. And then the people were like, well, you were kind of in between this country, so no, we're not going to take. The point is that the perpetrator got away with it, and she basically had to, you know, do nothing and be like, now I'm traumatized. Nobody wants to help me. And this is the reality that we're facing, because it's not like you can go knock on the Capitol Hill, you know, and say with the fucking sign, like, fuck you. Like, you know, pay attention to me. It's like, where do we go?
Exactly. But if no one's willing to
go, like, exactly. Is there a peaceful place?
If no one's willing to take
a bunch of people from a bunch of countries, whenever they want to get together and make fucking rules, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. So you know, I think the people that supposedly have the access with lawyers and all this to make changes of the regulations, that supposedly this is what the what do you call the labor people, you know, the unions, right? The unions for the maritime industry, this is what they all talk about. Like, go, oh, come give me your money because we're going to help you, blah, 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 right? And I'm all for them. And I really hope, and this is a message to you guys, we're going to fucking scream until you actually say what, you know, until you do what you say you're supposed to do and that you're meant to do and that you have the access to do it. And this is why we're giving you the money. Because this is another thing. A lot of people say, well, you know, I contact my union and now they're saying like, we can't do anything about it. And then you talk to the union and they're like, no, no, we do help. So it's kind of like, you know, and some people have had experiences where they say, yes, I was helped by the union. And I do want to make clear, if you are not member of a union and something happens to you and then you go to them, no, they cannot help you. That's their rule. You can only be helped by them if you're already a member. So, I mean, for $100, $50, whatever it is, if you're going to be working at sea, just cover your ass in that sense, because at least you have some, maybe could potentially somebody that could help you, you know?
That's an option.
So, you know, in a way, you know, I'm kind of like, well, you know, a lot of people talk about what they're doing or what they can, but, and I'm kind of like, okay, well, show me what regulations you have changed. And then when I ask one to a specific union, they said, well, you know, we implemented some bullshit regulation for like deckhand, you know, for captain's license, you know, because, which is great, you know, now we have at least captains that went to school, not like before where you could be a captain of a boat and because it's private, you don't even need a license. So now there's a little bit of regulations in that sense and a lot of money that comes from that as well. But then I'm like, okay, and then if we can change that, why are we not implementing a safer environment?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, you know, if that's doable, I'm pretty sure this is doable, but maybe we need more people screaming about it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Like the Me Too movement, you know, and you know, in the industry, when you talk about the Me Too movement, a lot of women, even they have this sense of like, oh, I don't want to be connected to that, you know, and I don't know why they feel that that's a disempowerment to themselves. Because the way I see it is like that made changes that help you, your family, future generations to be safer. So, yeah. I mean, win-win, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so, you know, I was going to ask you if you thought that individuals that read your articles that are not within the yachting industry, you know, do you feel that they care about about what's happening in the industry? And I think talked about it a little bit, but.
Well, I was going to say back about what you were saying about how obviously yachting is like the glamorous side of the maritime industry. And, you know, if people are getting their voices heard in the yachting industry, then that opens the doors for other people who are working on tankers or who are working on barges or anything at sea. And I think like you have to look at also like the success that Below Deck has had. So many people watch the show. Like it's a really, really popular show. I think I read somewhere a while ago that it's overtaken The Real Housewives as like one of the most viewed franchises by Bravo. So like it's a big show. Like a lot of people watch it, especially in the UK.
Millions of viewers, yeah.
Around the world. So I think they have that audience, and a lot of the people that, like my friends that spoke to me, watched the show and then read the article, and they were like I said earlier, they were shocked that this happens so regularly. But I think people do care. I think they just need to have that information and they need to be shocked by it because obviously it's an absolutely horrible thing. And like Me Too has inspired, well, Me Too inspired this article really, because it's all about giving the victims and the people that have had to face this harassment and abuse, like it's giving them a voice. And I think by doing this, like we said, the yachting industry and the maritime industry having its own Me Too moment could inspire a different industry. It could, I don't know, like the airplane industry, or like not even travel, just like any other industry, it can encourage more people to speak up because they can say, oh, like, look at the maritime industry. Like they're having their moment where victims are raising their voices. Like this is clearly an issue in the industry that I work in. Why can't we do the same? So it's about like kind of being inspired by other industries. And that's a way that everyone is going to know about it in the end, because every industry will have its own Me Too moment. Like that would be the ideal situation. But I think that people who read like mainstream magazines and stuff do care about it, but they've never had it before. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen an article about sexual harassment in the maritime industry ever. And I'm a journalist and I was researching it and I was trying to find something to kind of like look at. And if I can't find that, then the people who aren't researching it and that are just watching Below Deck every Sunday, they're not going to get that information either. So it's about putting it in front of them.
Exactly. No, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, maybe, I don't know, maybe people don't even know, like the Me Too movement didn't start it with Hollywood. It didn't start it there. Like it started with a woman who was a normal woman.
Yeah.
That enough is fucking enough. And then slowly, 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 her energy continue to inspire until it hit Hollywood, and then it went like boom.
Yeah, right? Exploded.
And then like, you know, Weinstein, you know, got just it, or whatever you call it, you know, and so on, you know, and then, you know, the Epstein story and the woman behind that. And it sucks because it took 20 something years or more, you know, for all these movements. But how the fuck do you think you're getting to vote today as a woman?
Yeah.
But he said, exactly. Fuck you, I got to vote.
Yeah.
And beaten down and got, you know, especially in the UK, you know, I saw the movie about, what's the word? I forgot, it's with S, of the woman basically in the UK where they said, you know, we are going to change this. And it took years and years and years of a lot of
campaigning
happened to them, you know, for me to be able to go vote. And we, you know, we tend to forget about the all these things and the reason that because other women put themselves on the line, today we have the rights that we have. And yeah. I feel like it's our fucking duty, it's our responsibility to do the same for us and for next future generations. It will be so hypocritical of me to go into a, you know, be part of the maritime industry for 15 years and not say enough is enough. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it will be insane. For me, it's like absolutely insane not to actually want to step up, not to want to talk about it, not to see these changes happening. Because I look at industry now and I see young girls, like you said, 19. You know, it's like, oh my God, you're so young, you know? And I want to also say, like, I have many mothers because, you know, social media has been great in a lot of senses because before nobody knew about this because there was no Instagram, you know. Now you see Instagram and it's like, oh, we're gonna get ad as a stew, and it's like all these fabulous photos, you know. And now your parents, you know, can also see what you're up to through social media. And I had many women mothers reach out to me and say, you know, I'm so happy that you're part of the industry. Like, we always follow you because you gave us a sense of safetiness for the daughters that we have embarking in this journey, because at least we know there's like somebody that is able to talk about all these things and give them tips and make sure that everybody be as safe as they can be, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do, you know. At least for now, it's like just create awareness, talk about it. It's like, okay, this is what you can do, this is the other things, like, and all this stuff, and just like inspire people. But yeah, it's I think this is, like you said, it has the potential to really make a big shift, not only for us as an industry, but for other industry to be inspired as well. And for more and more as it becomes like a human thing, because it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I think like what you do is so amazing, and like it's so like good that, like, you know, you have mothers messaging you that. But like in an ideal world, like everyone would be able to look out for other people that they work with. And that's something also, like, obviously speaking up and like speaking out about your own experiences will inspire other people, but also like letting other people know, your co-workers know, that you're there for them and that like you'll look out for them. And if, you know, some big intimidating guest or captain or whoever does something, that you stand with them, because at the end of the day, like, people feel more comfortable when they have someone there for them. If you're on your own, like all of the women that I spoke to, they had crew with them when they were on the boats when whatever happened. But like, they didn't feel like they could tell someone, or they were worried to tell someone, or they didn't feel like they had that person there. And when you're like you said, when you're out in the middle of the ocean and you're not close to anyone, it can be so isolating. And you turn to the people that you work with or that you know in the industry. And if they're not there for you, then you're not going to have that confidence to speak up. So, like, what you're doing is absolutely amazing, and I like really admire what you're doing. But like, there needs to be more of that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, you know, people can do this. Like, people, like, from crew to crew, just say, hey, if this happens to you, if you feel harassed, if you feel like you're being bullied, like, I'm here for you. You can talk about it. I have a PDF that you guys can download, click below the video, where you can put it on the crew board and say, hey, if anything happens to you, this is all the people that you can contact to get help from. Because I understand that not everybody is trained or has the self-development to hold space for such things. But you can definitely say, hey, I'm here for you. This is where you can get the help. If anything happens to you, come talk to me. Because that is that safetiness, net that we all need to actually speak up. If you don't feel safe, you're not going to move forward. You're not going to speak up. And if you have one person that makes you feel safe on board, then you know, okay, if anything happens to me, I can go talk to that person.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so important that everybody can do that. Anybody can do that, you know, and that's such a small thing that has huge, massive effect on this type of things. And I mean, on anything really, you know, not just, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes it's a verbal thing. It's not
it could that be something talking, as small as that.
They're saying like every day, oh my God, your ass is so yummy. It's like, well, motherfucker, I don't give a shit. Like, it ain't fucking welcome. It ain't for you, you know? So, yeah. And I think trainers need to train people on what are the symptoms, what are the signs, signs of what harassment actually may look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we don't know those, we think, well, maybe that's not, you know, and we we doubt ourselves,
double
even
guess.
Though our intuition tells us like, this is not right.
Exactly.
So how can we encourage more people to come forward and share their stories?
It's so tricky, isn't it? Because I feel like it's easy to say, oh, you know, just like the more people that talk about it, the more people that encourage, because some people, it might take so much more than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, they might read someone's story like that, but that still might not be enough for them to actually talk about their experience or report someone or name someone that's done something like this to them. So I think it's like a combination, obviously, regulations, training, like not being afraid to have those conversations when it could be a bit uncomfortable, but that shouldn't necessarily be on the person who might experience the harassment or the assault. It's on the people who have been in the industry for years and that know that it's happening. So it is such a tricky thing, but I think you're like, for a lot of people in the industry who have been in it for years or people that are just starting in it, if no one ever were to talk about sexual harassment or sexual assault, you kind of would assume in your brain, oh, well, that must not happen. Until you're there in that situation yourself, or you've seen it happen to someone else, or you've spoken to someone, you know, like, this is a real issue. If no one who is senior to you or who has been in the industry longer than you or is the captain of your boat or your chief stew speaks about it, then it's, you know, you're busy on a boat. You've got about a million things to be doing. It's not going to be in your brain. You're not going to be thinking about it. I think that's also why so many people kind of don't recognize it. It's because it's so touch and go when you're on a boat. You know, there's a million other things that you need to be worrying about. You need to be making sure that the guest's happy. You need to be making sure that the captain's happy. I think that it's about having that conversation in the media, but also having that conversation on the boat. And not that it has to be a 10-minute presentation at the start of every training thing or when you first join the boat, but just your chief saying, you know, just so you know, obviously, if anything like that does happen to you, come to me. I'm here for you. We can call this person. We can call the police. We'll kick the guests off straight away. It's having that like confidence, I think, that will encourage people then to want to share their experiences when they're off the boat or when they're still on it. So it's all just about making it more visible. But I think that's part to do with awareness, and it's part to do with the industry actually speaking about the problem and putting in regulations that mean that it won't, like, people won't get away with it so easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like, awareness without action, you know, it's like there's no change with, you know, if you want change, you have to, there's awareness and then there's the action that actually leads to change. And I think, like you said, something so easy as like, hey, welcome to the boat, or hey, this is my team. Like, if anything like this happened to you, you can come and talk to me about it. Simple. What? Less than a minute.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just normalizing the conversation, saying, if it happens, I'm here for you. I got your back. You know, another thing that I've been doing lately, because I do like interviews and stuff for people to get on boats and stuff. And I literally like talk to people when I am on the phone. I'm like, okay, what would, if it's a head of department, I ask them, okay, what would you do if this happened? Like, if sexual harassment or bullying or blah, blah, happens. And most of the time they're like, oh, they have to really think about it because they never even thought about it. And I was like, wow, nobody ever asked me that question. So I'm like, yep, I'm just putting the seed in there, just, you know, watering as we're doing the interview, because this is how we create that awareness. We have to start planting the seeds by talking about it.
Yeah.
Like randomly, you know, and it's like, or, you know, if you go to an interview asking the captain, oh, hey, captain, what would happen if, you know, like I get bullied or harassed or if I fucking die on the boat? You should fucking know.
Yeah, you're the captain at the end of the day. Like, exactly. You should know this.
And the captain should know, and you should also know.
Yeah.
Because these stuff do happen, you know, like they do.
But it's really interesting that obviously you said about how when like you interview people and ask them, like senior staff, about what would happen, because if they can't think to give you an answer, what would happen if someone like a crew member said it to them? Are they going to be as speechless as they are to you? No, you need to have things in place. Like, exactly. Come on, it's 2021. Like, you know that people get assaulted. You know that people get harassed. Like, now more than ever, not necessarily in the maritime industry, but with the Me Too movement, like, we know that this kind of thing is happening. So I think also, like, if you're in that position of authority, you shouldn't have to wait for someone to ask you, oh, what would you do in this situation? That should be something that you learn when you're learning about the job anyway, and when you're being trained in the job anyway. So it's all like systematic, and it's all something that needs to be as important as everything else that's important when you're applying for your job and when you're interviewing for a job.
Exactly. And this is why, like, you know, within the, I have this, not a training, but it's like, if you want to become a chief steward, right? It's like templates and all sorts of things. And within that, program that I have, you know, I teach you about your crew rights. I teach you about this harassment stuff. Like, what would you do? How can you help others? Because it's like, you know, if you understand one thing about the industry, it's like, preparation is key to success. If you're not fucking prepared, you're not going to be successful with your guests, with, you know, the captain, with your job. Things are not going to get done properly and on time if you're not prepping all the fucking time. So why would you not prep to maintain yourself in a safe environment? You know, it's like knowing your rights, knowing what to do in certain circumstances like this. It's like the other day, a woman called me. She said, oh, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh, congratulations. Do you know your pregnancy rights? Because you have them. She's like, oh my God, I didn't know. And she had my program. I was like, go to this place in the program. You'll find all the information there. Because you do get pregnant on boats as well. And you do have rights. You know, it's not just like, oh, now I'm pregnant, they're going to kick me out. Done. Yeah. No, it's not like that. But that's what people think, because nobody fucking talks about what happens to women at sea that get pregnant.
And that's why, that's how, like, the senior people get away with it, and they can get away with kicking someone off the boat because they're pregnant. They can get away with one of their crew being raped or harassed on board because they can just be like, okay, well, bye. Like, you don't know, like, your rights, so I can take advantage of you not knowing and do whatever the fuck that I want because you're not clued up.
Yes, ignorance. I don't know. They say it's a bliss, but I don't think so. It's really unsafety. Unsafe if you're ignorant to what your rights are, what you're entitled to, what help is available to you, and the fact that you can ask questions. Like, you can ask questions, okay? So ask them, you know, have the courage within yourself to ask the questions. Like I said, you know, like, if somebody's not going to give you a job because you're asking what would happen if I get assaulted,
red flag. Well,
give thanks that you're not getting that job, because probably that will be the person assaulting you. Thank you so much, Jordan, for writing that article, for inviting me to be part of it, for giving a platform for other voices to speak up and share their story. Because for me, you know, I asked you a question of how can we encourage others to come forward and share their story. And I think for me, you know, there's many ways we can do that, but the most powerful way to do that is when we talk about it. You know, when each person says, you know, I'm just going to talk about it without any outcome, just like, because I want to share, what had happened to me. And that really creates this empowerment energy, you know? And then that, when we talk about it, even if it's on censor or, you know, to your friends, you know, like behind the door, you know, like it doesn't matter.
Private.
You're normalizing the topic. You're saying it's okay. This is okay to talk about. And then more people are going to continue to do the same, you know? So thank you again for creating that space for us to talk and to really fucking scream it out and saying, you know what? Like, we want mainstream media. We want the fucking world to know that this is happening to us and there's no regulation stopping this shit.
Yeah. And it's needed. Like, it's been needed for so long. And thank you for your expertise and your insight into the industry, because when I was writing the article, like, you were such a huge help and you helped me see it from a different side, from someone who's an outsider in the industry who has watched it on TV and that's about it. Until I got to the point where I was speaking to people, you were really, really, really helpful. And I hope that there's more people in the industry like you who stand up for what's right and are there for people and who are creating resources for people to deal with these kind of situations, because like we've just said, there's not that many and there needs to be more. So I think you're like such a trailblazer, and thank you for having me on to talk today. Like, I had a really nice time talking to you and it was really great actually like talking about the article, it like face to face as well. Thank you.
I'm super, super grateful to have you on the show and to be able to talk about it and to have also inspired you, you know, and give you the information that you needed to be able to write such a beautiful piece. So to everybody out there, I'm going to put the link below to get the resources that you can stick it on the crew board and say, hey, if anybody needs help, this is all the information that you need so they can contact all sorts of people if this is happening to them. And also, if you take anything from this conversation, let it be to talk about the topic. Like, just talk about it. That's it. You don't have to make a big deal about it. Just say like, hey, you know, what do you think about sexual assault on board? That's it. Just open up the conversation about it. That's it. Everybody else is just going to roll with it. I promise you. Like, people want to talk about it. They just don't feel safe to be the first one speaking about it, you know? But if somebody has the courage to do so, then everybody just goes rolling, you know? Because I know, because this is what I have experience on board, you know, with other people. So thank you so much. And for the ones that haven't read the article, click down below and check it out. It's an amazing article. And what else? I'm just so happy and excited. And if anybody wants to share their story, please email me at the email that's below this video. And thank you. That's it.
Thank you so much.
It's a wrap. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.